ISO.org is the premier online Bible school developed by Perry Stone. ISO.org has dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up today.
Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
Today I'm going to deal with the subject of the coming war of Gog of Magog and the Ezekiel file. Several years ago, we were blessed to go into the house of a former Israeli president, and there on display, and it's not really open generally to the public, but we had special permission, we saw something that was very interesting. We saw these tablets that were on display, which had been brought from what they said was the tomb of the prophet Ezekiel in the area of ancient Babylon. And they were smuggled in many years ago into the president's house. And I think we have a picture of those right here. These are called the Ezekiel tablets. And I was so fascinated because they are what's called bas-relief. In other words, the actual letters are raised with the background removed around the letters. And it's very interesting. Someone really took the time to do this. But today, we're going to concentrate on that prophet. And we're going to concentrate on the prophecies that he gave concerning the time of the end. Now, if we go into the scriptures concerning the prophet Ezekiel, we find that we begin in chapter 36, and this is a prophecy concerning the mountains of Israel and how that God would one day bring a restoration to the mountains of Israel. The mountains of Israel often are the area of Samaria and Judea and the Judean wilderness. These were the central mountains. Of course, Jerusalem is surrounded by seven mountains as well. When we come from chapter 36 to chapter 37, we get this very famous prophecy concerning the Valley of Dry Bones. It was a vision that the prophet had of how Israel was nothing but divided bones, and how the breath came upon them and the skins came upon them, and they rose up and became a great army. Most Jewish people who survived the Holocaust, who believed in Scripture, identify Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones prophecy, as surviving the Holocaust and coming out of the graves, as the prophet said, back to the nation of Israel. It's a very powerful prophecy. Now, these prophecies almost seem to go in an order as far as the chapter divisions in the book of Ezekiel. You come then from chapter 37 and you come to two chapters that we will key in on in the next few moments. That is chapter 38 and chapter 39 of the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 38 is a prophecy of how surrounding nations, and it happens that today these nations still exist, although the older names are used in the Bible. But these nations are all Islamic nations, and that's going to come into play in this study in the next few moments. But there in chapter 38, it gives you the surrounding nations that are going to attack Israel in two locations that we'll be discussing in the next few moments. Then in chapter 39, we see in this prophecy the details of the aftermath of the battle, which is often called the Battle of Gog of Magog. Again, the Battle of Gog of Magog, which will be our subject today. Now, we want to focus on the war that's coming in the future called the War of Gog and Magog. As a matter of fact, there's several wars of prophecy that are coming. And let's just go over a couple of these wars, if you'd like to do that. We'll look at these very carefully. The first war that we know, and I believe this is the one that's next on the agenda, is the coming War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, which happens in the latter days when Israel is brought back as a nation and the Jewish people are living safely in the land. The second war is what we call the wars of the Antichrist, which are numerous. But in Daniel chapter 11, we find that the northern part of Africa, which includes Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt, are overtaken by the Antichrist and his armies during the tribulation. And we also see when we read the scripture from the Old Testament that Jerusalem, half of Jerusalem, will be taken, seized by the Antichrist. And also the country of Lebanon is taken by him. Damascus, Syria, about that time is destroyed. So there's these major Middle Eastern wars which are involved with the coming Antichrist. So that's our second war series that we read about in prophecy in the time of the end. Now, the third war that's the most famous. I'd say everybody in the world has heard of this if they have any Bible knowledge whatsoever. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And he gathered them together, Revelation 16, in the Valley of Megiddo, a Armageddon, the Tel of Megiddo, the Mountain of Megiddo, which that was the city that existed back in that time. Back in Solomon's day, it was a huge chariot city that Solomon built up on this high mountain, this high hill. And so that surrounding area that surrounds that mountain, it's a 200-mile square area, flatland, which is known as Valley, the Valley of Armageddon, or also known as the Valley of Jezreel in the Old Testament. This is going to be a major battle toward the time of the end of the tribulation, and we find that Christ will return, and then there is what is later, and this is at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. The Battle of Armageddon happens toward the end of the tribulation. Christ returns, rules on earth for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, but then at the end of the 1,000 years, there's this very strange verse that says that Satan comes out of the abyss and goes and stirs the armies up again of Gog and Magog to come out and attack Israel again. Now, this has confused people, Revelation 27 and 8, to compare it to Ezekiel 38 and 39 and saying it's the same battle, but it is absolutely not the same battle. The end battle at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, called the Battle of Gog and Magog, where does Gog and Magog come from? Why do they show up again? Because we're going to show you some of these are spirits connected to these nations. There's the key of understanding why there's two different places where the name is mentioned 1,000 years apart. So that will be the next one. So you have the Battle of Gog and Magog of the latter days. You have the battles of the Antichrist. You have the Battle of Armageddon. And then you have the battle led by Satan himself of Gog, not Magog, but Gog, who comes back again at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, what we want to concentrate on right now is Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and we want to talk about a little bit about the coalition that's going to attack Israel in the future. This has not yet happened. It's going to attack Israel in the future from two different fronts, all right? And then what we want to talk about is in Ezekiel chapter 39, the end results of the battle, including this really, really elaborate cleanup that's going to have to take place of cleaning up the weapons and the dead bodies after this huge, massive battle takes place, which again has not yet happened, but will happen in the future. Now, I want to begin talking about the War of Gog and Magog and bring 3 points to you right now. Number one, without a doubt, these seven nations listed, as we will show you, are Islamic nations that are enemies of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 2 through 6. I'm sorry, 38, verses 2 through 6. Secondly, this war will occur in the last days when Israel has been restored. That's Ezekiel 38, verses 8, and also verse 16. The third thing I need to tell you is this: Israel will be in control of an area that they did not control till the 67 war and definitely in the 73 Yom Kippur War. And that is, Israel has to control an area called the Golan Heights, which in the Old Testament is called the Bashan. And they gained all of that back in the Six-Day War of 1967. Now, this is important you understand this. Syria cannot be in control of the Bashan or the Golan Heights when this war takes place. Israel has to be in control. And this is why it's important to understand that we are in those seasons of the possibility of these things happening in the near future, because that's a real key to this prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 18. I'm going to talk about the Golan Heights of the Bashan in just a moment. Now, because of the rise of the country of Persia, and you're going to hear me mention the name Persia, and when you hear me mention the name Persia, it is today the country of Iran, and Iran is an arch enemy of Israel. Now, there are people in Iran or Persia that love the Jewish people, and they are only Christians. Only the Christians do. And there's an underground movement that, I don't want to say anything publicly because this is going on the internet, that's there in the country. However, Persia is consistently threatening Israel and also threatening the destruction of Israel. And so what I'd like to share with you is, number one, there is this Islamic coalition of seven nations headed up by Persia. That's Ezekiel 38, verses 2 through 6. Then there is a war that will occur in the last days when Israel is restored. Ezekiel 38, verse 8 and 16. Then Israel will control the Bashan again. So these are three things that are very important to understand in the foundation of his study. Now, because of the rise of Persia, or the country of Iran, that's the modern name, and their war threats against Israel, there's no question that this event is going to happen. Israel is constantly being threatened by the country of what we call Persia. Now, listen to me carefully. This war could not have happened before the year of 1979, and I'm going to read this very quickly and not spend a lot of time on it because I want to go through these notes because I'm only on page one and I've got seven pages here, okay? So let's talk about this for a moment, the country of Persia. Now, the country of Persia was once led by, this is Iran, a man by the name of Mohammad Reza, who was better known as the Shah of Iran, who came to power in 1941 and was exiled in 1979. So great picture of him there. He rejected the Soviet control of his country and chose instead the West, which was Britain and the United States, for his support. He was weak at the time that he started this, but then he became very progressive in his ideas. In fact, in 1962, he allowed Jews living in Iran, which were Iranian Jews, and Christians living in Iran, to be sworn into government positions, Christians using a Bible and Jews using their holy scriptures as well, which would be the Torah of the Old Testament, which was unheard of in a predominantly Muslim country. So he was very, very progressive in his ideas. Now, he came in conflict with a man by the name of the Ayatollah Khomeini, and the Ayatollah believed that only the Quran should be used in any type of government when it relates to the Persians, and they call themselves Persians, by the way, or the Iranian people. So this conflict arose, and so back in 1963, 1 year after he allowed the Jews and Christians to be sworn in with their own holy books, he came along and the law was changed and the law was reversed. Now, in 1963, they also allowed women to vote, which the Ayatollah Khomeini was totally against women voting, and so riots began to break out, and so the Ayatollah was exiled to the country of Iraq, and later he ended up in the country of France. Now, in France, he made all these cassette messages, and this is the Ayatollah Khomeini, and he had him smuggled into the country of Iran. So, we come to the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which all Americans should be aware of this. The Shah of Iran had cancer, and he left the country to get treatment, but he began to make it public back around 1978. And so, as he left the country, protests began against him inside his own country. He was admitted to a U.S. hospital for treatment, and Jimmy Carter was against it. And yet he was actually a friend of the United States. So Carter steps in. He doesn't like the fact because it looks too political. So what happened was, in anger, the Iranians organized and stormed the U.S. embassy and took 52 hostages. Now, I remember that as a kid, and some of you will remember it as well if you're older. So the United States embassy in the country of Iran or Persia was held for 444 days. Now, the Ayatollah at first was supported by the United States, but in this takeover, he turned to the radical Shia branch of Islam and took control, and he became anti-American and he became anti-Israel. And that was the Iranian Revolution of 1979. That is when the country changed from being a progressive country, a country that could really be progressive in the future, totally friendly to the West, began to turn on the West, began to turn on Israel, began to turn on the Jews, and began to spread hatred through what was called radical Shia Islam, because 95% of the population in the country of Persia are Shia Muslims. Now, track with me as I go into this, because we're going to give you a little bit of really weird history here. The United States eventually had to support a man after 1979 in 1980 named Saddam Hussein. The reason the United States gave money to millions, probably billions of dollars to Saddam Hussein's regime, and the reason they supported Saddam Hussein with weapons that would later be used against us in our wars against them is because he was the buffer between the radical Shia Muslims and the nation of Israel. Now, it wasn't that he was supporting Israel because he came across as though he wasn't, but he was the buffer. So we figured instead of going to war with Persia one day to defend Israel, it would be better to have a buffer in the middle. Well, what that turned into was an eventual 10-year war between Saddam Hussein in Iraq and the Persians in the country of Iran, a 10-year war where hundreds of thousands of soldiers are killed. It just tore the country up. It tore the land up. It caused all kinds of problems. Now, let's just go to the present situation, because this is what we're dealing with right now. There are two branches of the Islamic religion. One is the Sunni branch and the other is called the Shia branch. The Shia Muslims are about 20% of the entire population of the Islamic world, 1.4, 1.5 billion Muslims. Nobody really knows the actual number. But the Shias are 20% of that number, and the Sunnis are 80%. Now, the Sunnis, we always thought were a little bit more moderate because they are from Jordan and Saudi Arabia and much of the Gulf states. But then 19 hijackers that hijacked the planes on 9/11 were all connected to the Gulf states or Saudi Arabia, except maybe one. So that changed everything on September the 11th, when the towers fell and the Pentagon was attacked as well. Now, however, while in the beginning under the Shah, it was Britain and America and actually France that helped support Persia under the Shah of Iran, now that the radicals took over, it changed everything. So the radicals in Persia or in Iran are actually supported by the Russians. And the Russians have been the biggest financiers of the Iranians, way much, much more than the United States, because our support for them stopped after the capturing of the embassy for 444 days during the revolution of 1979. Now, this is very interesting because it is Persia that supports the majority of terror groups that have ever attacked Israel. It didn't matter if it was the PLO. They had their own support as well. But the PLO, it didn't matter if it was Hezbollah. It did not matter if it was Hamas. Those organizations have secretly been funded by Iran or the Persians. Now, it's the same place. Persia is the biblical prophetic name. Iran is the modern name. So they have been funded. And so to this point, if you ever see the news, you know, you see the leaders, the radical leaders of Persia or Iran, that stand up and say that America is the great Satan that needs to be destroyed and Israel is the little Satan that needs to be destroyed. And so these particular leaders are very, very anti-America and very, very anti-Israel. So now what I want to do, having laid a foundation of the country of Persia, who helps lead this battle, that's why I'm emphasizing this to you, helps lead this battle. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Just touch on this very, very lightly, just to help set the pace here. We have the vision of the valley of dry bones. Now, the prophet Ezekiel saw a vision in which there was a flat valley and there were bones. There were leg bones, hip bones, shoulder bones, skulls, all laying, and they were separated. And God says to him, can these bones live again? And he says, God, only you know. And he says, prophesy to the bones. And as the prophet begins to prophesy, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37, he says this, this is the whole house of Israel. This is the whole house of Israel. Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Then the questions come up. Now, I want to read these slowly. Can these bones live again? Ezekiel 37 and 3. Prophesy to the bones and say, you shall live. Chapter 37, verse 5. Then he says this, I will bring sinews and flesh and cover you with skin and put breath. That means ruach is spirit, wind, life, or breath in you. That's in chapter 37 and verse 6. Then there, he said, all of a sudden there was a noise and a shaking and a coming together bone to bone. Chapter 37, verses 7 and 8. Then he prophesied to the four winds, that's the north, south, east, and west, for life to come and blow on them, Ezekiel 37 and 9. And he says this, this is a verse that I want to give to you. It says this, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, I want you to look at this because this is interesting. So in Ezekiel 37, they're coming, and it will tell you this, that they're actually coming up out of their graves. And I'm going to read the verse. Keep that verse up. Ezekiel 37 and 12. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Now, because the word graves is used here, the Holocaust survivors, 6 million were killed and buried in graves, but there were those that were near death, near their graves, and God opened up the graves, so to speak, in a metaphorical sense, and brought them back to the land of Israel, which he says here. And this is why Ezekiel chapter 37 is often considered by devout Jews as a reference to the Holocaust and how God reestablished the nation of Israel after the Holocaust. And to prove this, Let's look at three keys. Number one, God says to them, you'll become a great nation. And also says, you will no longer be divided between the northern and the southern kingdom. That's in chapter 37, verse 15. And they were, throughout history, divided between the northern and southern kingdom. But here, they're only one nation, not north and south, but one nation. And they're united again, which they are today. The next phrase here, I'm going to bring you out of your graves. And that refers to your burying place. And this happened after the Holocaust, with the restoration of the nation of Israel in 1948. Then it says you're going to become a great army, and they did become great. And it's real interesting. I want you to listen to this, because the Hebrew root here for great means to twist. And that doesn't make sense to you. Understand what the prophet is saying. I'm going to create a great bond. I'm going to create a strong bond by uniting you or binding you together as one nation. That's what the prophet is referring to here when he uses the word great army, a great army. And also the word great, the word great here, gadol can means to exceed in power. So in other words, if we do word studies on great army, we combine it together. It's God saying to them, I'm going to make you a strong bond together, and you're going to have exceeding great power as you join together and become a last day army. And that's what they are. Now, I want you to look at the timing of this event as it relates to what the prophet talked about. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that the name is Israel and not Palestine. The name Palestine came somewhere in the neighborhood of the fourth or fifth century. And this was the name of the land before 1948. And Israel got the land back in an annexation by the United Nations. So in other words, he did not say, I will bring you down into the land of Palestine. He said, I'll bring you down into the land of Israel. So here we go again, make another statement here. Before 1948, Israel was called Palestine, but this work could not have happened when it was Palestine. It had to be Israel, and the Jewish people had to be back in the land. Now, number two, so let's look at this. Number one, this war happens after Israel has returned from the nations of the world of exile back to their land, which would have been after 1948, and also after 1967, and also after 1988, when the Jews began to come from Russia and the North Country. So we're in the time frame when the Jewish people are returning from the lands of the Gentiles to come back to the nation of Israel. So this battle has to happen after Israel returns to their land, Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. Number two, when Israel has a great army, Ezekiel 37 and 10, this is when this battle has to take place. And the IDF, which is an acronym for Israeli Defense Force, was formed May 26th, 1948. And they are, I would suggest, China, Russia, the United States are the three greatest armies in the world. And Israel is in the top four without a doubt, and probably has weapons that you and I don't even know about. Because as Benjamin Netanyahu once said, we've had to develop things in order to learn to survive. We have no choice.
Now available, an exciting new resource from Perry Stone, Prophetic Summit 2020. Prophetic Summit 2020 was taped live at the Voice of Evangelism Studios and features 8 timely prophetic messages from teachers Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. Available in an 8 DVD video album or an 8 CD audio album, this collection is sure to address many of the issues important to you and your family at this incredible time in world history. Here's some of what you'll receive when you order Prophetic Summit 2020. What are the events surrounding the resurrection of the dead at the time of the end? Perry Stone examines this phenomenon in Unlocking the Maranatha Code. How will the power of the kingdom of darkness be overcome and the kingdom of God be set free to reign on the earth? Bill Cloud addresses this question in The Mystery of the Breaker, Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of Darkness. Does the Bible describe advanced technologies of war that some nations may already possess? Find out in Perry Stone's Future EMP Attacks and Apocalyptic Prophecies. Have Christians lost touch with an important spiritual heritage demonstrated in the lives of the biblical patriarchs? Bill Cloud urges a return to this deep historical connection in The Joseph Factor. In The Coming War of Gog and Magog and the Ezekiel File, Perry Stone explores in what ways the symbolic descriptions of war in the book of Ezekiel could come to pass in the last days. Bill Cloud examines a battle often overlooked by prophecy teachers between Israel and the descendants of another ancient people in The War in Edom. Uncovering parallels between the story of Enoch and descriptions of the second coming of Jesus, Perry Stone presents The Enoch Cipher, Future Cosmic Signs of Christ's Return. Finally, in The Mystery of the Final Birth Pangs, Perry Stone decodes some of the prophetic signs concerning Israel, nature, the cosmos, the church, and the Gentile nations. Thousands of viewers joined Perry Stone and Bill Cloud for this timely live stream event, and now you can experience Prophetic Summit 2020 as well. Order this dynamic, timely collection of prophetic teachings. Visit perrystone.org or call 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You may also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Ask for offer 20PS1-CD for a gift of $60 or more, or 20PS1-DVD for a gift of $80 or more. Your support of Perry Stone Ministries makes teaching events like Prophetic Summit 2020 possible and helps us with the mission of presenting the Word of God to people all over the world. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Well, I know you enjoyed this wonderful teaching by Perry Stone. No one can teach the Bible like Perry, and no one can teach from Israel like Perry Stone. Speaking of that, I know that many of you would like to go with him again this year for his annual trip to Israel, where he films a lot of the Manifest programs. Not only do you get to enjoy all the tours of Israel, but you also get Perry's personal attention as well as his incredible teaching. So be sure and sign up for that as he's gearing up with new lessons and new teachings for this year's Israel trip. Speaking of Perry's teaching, you definitely want to take advantage of this month's offer and get this Prophetic Summit teaching by Bill Cloud and Perry Stone. What a dynamic duo they are for teaching Bible prophecy and current events. We love to teach to those deep students, or those students who love the depth of the Word of God. I mean, there's a lot of great teaching out there, don't get me wrong, but there's only a few places that you can really go dive deep into the Word and really uncover the depths and the beauty of the prophetic layers of Scripture. And that is one of the reasons we are so dedicated to bring you that kind of teaching. Not only do we have it here, we also have it at ISO.org. I'm the chancellor of the International School of the Word, and we are just as committed to bring you the in-depth Bible teaching as this ministry is. So please go to ISO.org and check us out, and go to perrystone.org and get your Prophetic Summit as well as all of the other incredible teachings and ministry items that are available there. Well, I know that these are times of confusion for a lot of people because the world seems to be in chaos. But I have good news for you today. God is not in chaos. The throne is not in chaos. The authority of the name of Jesus is not in chaos. The blood of Jesus has not lost its power at all. God is still working on behalf of His people. Miracles are happening. People are being healed. They're being saved. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a time that I believe the world or the church will break out in revival. So keep praying for the world. Keep praying for your nation and our nation. Keep praying for Perry and this ministry. And we'll see you next time on Manifest.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at iso.org today.